In case your chief executive Chapter 18, The Chief Executive's Speech. This is Chapter 18 from my book, Strategy and the Fact Smoker. It's called The Chief Executive's Speech. In case your chief executive needs a speech, here's one I wrote 10 years ago for the leader of a large national professional firm who asked me what he should say upon his election to the new role. This is what I wrote for him. Our firm, like our best competitors, is aiming at familiar goals. We not only want to be the best, but to be perceived by our clients as such. We want to be innovative and at the frontier of identifying and responding to the needs of both global and middle market clients. We want to capitalize on the latest technological developments. We want to give our clients an unmatched level of client service. We also want our firm to be a place that provides professional fulfillment and personal growth opportunities for each and every one of our partners, non-partners, and staff. We believe that doing these things will make us one of the most profitable firms in our profession. These goals are not unique to us. Our best competitors almost certainly have similar, if not identical, goals. If we are to outperform them, we don't need a better vision, but a better approach to making it happen. We will succeed not by aiming at different targets than our best competitors do, but by devising better ways to reach those same targets. We must develop and adhere strictly to sound philosophies, ways of doing business, ways of dealing with our clients, our people, and each other. In sum, we must agree not on our destination, but on a way of conducting our affairs. We must design systems to ensure that we are living up to our principles. In preparing these thoughts, I have not attempted to picture what the firm will look like in 5 or 10 years. Rather, I have tried to convey the philosophies I hold about how we should behave as individuals and as a firm. If we follow these principles, we will achieve our goals. If we do not, then we will fail. I have also tried to avoid being inspirational. These are principles I both live by and intend to apply in executing my responsibilities. By sharing those beliefs with you, I am making you a promise that these are the principles I will operate by, and I expect you to hold me accountable for them. If I depart from these principles, let me know, in person, in a letter, or even if necessary, in an anonymous note. But let me know. I do not expect that all of you will necessarily agree with everything I have to say. That's okay, and we should talk about it. But what is here is what I truly believe. You have the right to know where I'm coming from and how I'm likely to react when you ask for my views on issues as they arrive. For better or for worse, then, this is what I believe. On the role of the partner. Since clients hire people, not firms, our success will be built a partner at a time. That means that what really matters is not firm strategies, but personal career development strategies for each partner. If and only if each partner is finding some way to make himself or herself more valuable in the marketplace each year, then the firm will succeed. In turn, this means that the role of the firm is to help each individual grow as a professional. The firm exists to help its people succeed, not the other way around. However, it also means that the firm has the right to expect each person to develop a personal development plan and to hold that person accountable for the execution of that plan. In this profession, the need for personal development is lifelong. The minute you begin to cruise, to rely on skills learned in the past, that's the moment you begin your decline. All of us, from 30-year-olds to 60-year-olds, must constantly ask, what new skills can I acquire? And the firm has the right to ask that same question of you. My experience has taught me that success comes not from those who swing for the fences every time at bat, but to those who commit themselves to a continuous program of constant improvement, base hit by base hit. There are many ways to make yourself more valuable in the marketplace. Intellectual leadership, better client counseling skills, a greater ability to run large projects, and so on. But one stands above all else, specialized industry knowledge. Regardless of your discipline and your command of it, each and every partner should have an in-depth, up-to-date knowledge in one or more industries so that clients perceive you as having a special interest in them and in their business. There is no better way, in my view, for each of us to succeed than for every one of us to declare a specific industry specialization. Senior professionals, in my opinion, have five key responsibilities for which they should expect to be held accountable. First and foremost, all individuals in every team must satisfy their clients, and we should be vigorous in establishing processes which ensure this is happening. Second, those running client assignments or engagements must be responsible for building skills in themselves and others, thereby adding to the human capital of the firm. We sell skill and talent, not time. We should devise tracking mechanisms to allow partners to see how well they are fulfilling this responsibility. Third, those in charge of assignments have a responsibility to contribute to the economic success of the firm by running their engagements profitably and constantly seeking out ways to improve the economics of the project work that they do. We must learn to use our resources efficiently, and that means we should be vigorous in tracking how well we are using them. Each senior person owes us all the responsibility of managing well not only our revenues, but the cost to the firm in delivering our services. Fourth, everyone should participate in some way to developing our business by attracting and winning quality new work and new clients that allow us to stretch, learn, and grow. This does not just mean getting more business, it means getting better business. We should establish procedures to judge not only the volume of our business, but its caliber. Our goal should not be to chase any and all new business, but to get more than our fair share of the best business. Our goal is to be recognized as being unequivocally the best, not the biggest. When you hear from me, expect to hear more questions about the quality and nature of what you are doing than how much you are doing. In the pursuit of quality new business, everyone should play a role. Some will do it directly through selling and proposal efforts, others through writing articles, others through deep involvement with existing clients and their affairs. But each one of us must play some part in the improvement of our practice through attracting interesting, challenging new work. Last but not least, every person has a responsibility to contribute to the success of others. We need to act as a partnership, not a collection of solo operators or independent offices trading under the same brand name. If the firm is to achieve its goal of helping each person succeed, then we must help each other. Each person should be able, each year, to point to some specific contribution to the success of others. This may be bringing in work for others to do, developing methodologies or technical ideas that others used, or transferring skills to others through coaching. But one way or another, we each must do something for somebody else if we are to be a firm. Contributing to the success of others should and will be a criterion applied in judging the success of practice units, offices, and disciplines. Any group that focuses only on its own results and does not help others will not be judged a success. On accountability. If someone has accepted a responsibility and agreed upon a goal, then we should get out of his or her way and let the individual do it. None of us should wait to be told what to do or how to do it. Micromanagement kills initiative, judgment, and creativity. That doesn't mean abdication. It means that after establishing clear goals and accountability measures, we should turn people loose to pursue those goals with the freedom and responsibility to figure out how to get things done and hold them accountable for the goals they agreed to. On evaluations. In judging performance, we should be thorough in conducting performance appraisals that focus on non-financial as well as financial objectives. And we must vigorously ensure that each person receives regular, in-depth feedback, assistance, and coaching on performance. Our reward systems must derive from these regular, thorough, and constructive counseling approaches and must never be a substitute for them. on managers. Our firm has no room for managers who spend their time on administration, playing cop or boss, or use the job for their own reward and glory. The job of a manager is to help other people succeed. It is a responsibility, not a reward. We must not glorify those who occupy managerial positions, but choose the person most skilled at managerial duties and keep them and reward them only if they perform the role well and make a difference to the performance of others. Managers should be deeply involved in client affairs, not necessarily by being the lead partner on their own engagements, but by spending significant time on client relations, by being a practical source of help on other partners' assignments, and by participating in other people's business development activities. Managers should also be deeply involved with the activities of the people in the group they are responsible for. They should be available to resolve issues, form teams, provide assistance, and make it easier for other people to focus on their clients. Managers should be hassle absorbers, not hassle creators. All of us must be willing to be accountable for performing our respective roles well. If our people are to be held accountable for their performance, financial and non-financial, the same must be true of those asked to accept managerial responsibilities. On clients and what they want. I believe that clients can make few distinctions on the technical capabilities of the best firms, and as a result place great emphasis on the ability of the individual partner to enter their world, relate to them in their language, and talk to them about their business. We will never succeed by being technicians alone, no matter how high our level of technical skill. Clients want us to know their business. They want us to be interested in them. On my style, I like to be decisive. I've learned that we can live with a bad decision, but we are certain to be hurt by no decision. I'm willing to take risks and to encourage and reward risk-taking. Call me on that if I depart from it. I like to ask, what new things have you tried lately? Only by trying new things will we get better. I like to be consultative. That doesn't mean unanimity or even consensus. It means soliciting views, asking a lot of questions, and then deciding. I like to hear other people's opinions. Don't let me behave in any other way. I don't like to launch things that I'm not prepared to follow through on. If I'm involved in an initiative, expect me to monitor it carefully, and let me know if I don't. I don't make promises I can't keep. You should fire me if I don't live up to that promise. I like to be straight and tell the truth, and I like to be told the truth. I want to hear the bad news, if there is any, and I want to hear it early enough for me to try to help or do something about it. Life's too short for politics and playing games. I believe in extensive two-way communications between management and those they manage. This will mean meeting with clients and employees frequently. Keep me honest on this one and let me know if what I'm doing is insufficient. In summary, that's not all I believe, but it's enough for now. I hope you found these thoughts interesting and helpful. I hope you watch me carefully to ensure that I live by what I advocate. And if not, well then you know what to do. Let me know. This has been Chapter 18, The Chief Executive Speech, from my book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker.